His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Praise God. Well, as you can see, I'm not Brother Dan up here. Brother Dan was called out to work, but he is with us in spirit. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to open up to the book of James, chapter 5. Wow, I am so excited about this today. First healing service for the new year. Amen. As you can see, we're in a different room than we were last week. There's some previous, every once in a while, they're going to put us in a different room here because of previous arrangements. But 99% of the time, we will be over where we're supposed to be. Amen. So we can handle that, can't we? Praise God. Got a place to meet, right? Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. We thank you for the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for us. Not only took our sins, but he took our sicknesses and diseases. Oh, what a sacrifice you have made for us. Father, we're grateful today that you took our infirmities, our sicknesses, our diseases, as well as our sins. And Lord, just like the psalmist wrote, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of our diseases." We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. In James chapter 5, what I'd like to talk about today is how to pray the prayer of faith. How to pray the prayer of faith. Do you want to know how to pray the prayer of faith? And we get this phrase from the book of James, and we're going to read here. And not only will the prayer of faith heal sick bodies, the prayer of faith will get to you anything that you want or desire from God. Amen? See, the church world as a whole, for the most part, has just thought that it's a hit and miss type thing, like Russian roulette. You know what Russian roulette is? Huh? Okay. And it's not that way. We can be healed. How many of you know gravity works 100% of the time? If I throw a ball up in the air, 100% of the time it will come down because of the laws of gravity. Okay? Now the laws of the spirit are no different. Now in aviation you have the law of thrust and lift and drag, you know, and gravity and so forth. There's different laws that govern aeronautics, and they work 100% of the time. Matter of fact, if we had the knowledge, they could have flown planes and built planes back in the Garden of Eden. The laws still worked, okay? And the laws of the Spirit work every single time. And in James chapter 5, verse 13, now, James grew up in the same household as Jesus because he was the half-brother of Jesus. James' father was Joseph, and his mother was Mary, right? But Jesus' mother was Mary, but his father was what? God, all right? So James came along after Jesus was the firstborn, of course, and he had other brothers and sisters. The Bible's very clear about that. James grew up in the household of Jesus. He was able to watch him, okay? How he operated, how he functioned. And in James chapter 5, verse 13, the scripture says this, "Is any among you afflicted?" Now that word afflicted simply means tempted, tested, or tried. All right? So is any among you afflicted? What are we supposed to do if we're afflicted? Let him pray. Say, let him pray. Now, you're going to see this phrase here repeatedly here. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. In other words, if I'm afflicted, can you pray for me? Well, sure you can. Sure. But it says right here, he's putting the bee back on us so that we learn how to pray. We should know how to pray as believers, not always depend on other people. All right? I don't depend on other people's prayers. If people pray for me, that's a blessing. But if they don't, I'm not going to fall apart. You understand what I'm saying? Because my dependency is on God. So he said, "Is any afflicted, let him pray." Now, is any merry or happy, let him sing psalms. Amen? Now, here's the point. If you're afflicted, you pray. If you're happy, you sing psalms. If I'm happy, I don't say, Lynn, can you sing me a song? You know what I'm see the point I'm trying to make here? So if you're afflicted, you pray. If you're happy, you sing psalms. And then verse 14 says, is any sick among you? That's a question mark. It's almost as if he is asking this question, are there any sick people out there? There shouldn't be. Okay? Now, this is Bible, isn't it? So, is any sick among you? Let him. Now, there's that phrase the third time. Let him, let him, let him. If you're afflicted, let him pray. If you're happy, let him sing psalms. If you're sick, let him call for the elders of the church. That simply means leaders. Okay? Pastor, leaders. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Okay? And notice verse 15. Here's the phrase. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Let's say that phrase. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now that word save there means to restore to its original place. Oh my goodness. If there was ever a scripture that talked about the validity of divine healing for the New Testament church, it's this one right here. I mean, this is the New Testament. This is the epistles. Glory to God. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall. Say shall. Now, this word shall is not like, well, maybe, might. This word shall here, now listen really carefully here, means in an absolute sense. Okay? Absolute, like God is absolute light. The Bible says there's no darkness in him. Right? God is all light, so he's absolute light. And this means, this word here in shall is absolute. Absolute. Isn't that good? The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. All right? Now, verse 16 and 17, let's just read that. Confess your faults one to another. That simply means be transparent. Amen? If you missed it, confess it. You know, if you lost your temper, confess it. If you need to ask forgiveness, do it. We all do from time to time, don't we? We get impatient sometimes, especially in our own homes sometimes. We get impatient, right? We do. We get impatient with people sometimes. But you know what? If I miss it, I'll be the first one to tell you, you know what? Forgive me. I was wrong. Amen? But it keeps your spirit clear, okay? Confess your faults one to another, verse 16. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means can do much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not upon the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, I think that's kind of interesting because in 16, he talks about the prayer, the effectual prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, you know. And sometimes when we read that, we think, well, I sure hope I'm one of those types of people, you know. And he uses the example of Elijah, who called fire down from heaven, outran the king's chariot. Remember that? Did mighty things. And sometimes we have a tendency as believers to look at people like him and say, well, I'm not Elijah. But the Bible says right here that Elijah was a man of like passions. So in other words, he had feelings. But he earnestly prayed and God answered his prayer. Now what I would like to do right now is break this down here today and talk about specifically the prayer of faith. Okay? Now, when the Bible talks about let them call for the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, let them pray over them, anointing with oil. Now, I'll say this, it's not necessary to have olive oil to be laid, to be poured on you to be healed. It's not necessary. Okay? The prayer of faith will heal you. The oil doesn't heal you. I mean, you can get a bottle of Crisco and pour it over your head. That's not going to heal you. It'll just be real greasy. So it's the prayer of faith. Now, I was reading out of E.W. Kenyon's books, you know, and he was saying that this is more for a baby Christian that needs to call for the elders. In other words, they don't have enough faith to receive healing for themselves. So they call for the elders of the church. They can see the elders. They can hear the elders. They can feel the oil. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But we can get to the place where we can pray. We should be developing, amen? We can get to the place where we can pray and believe God every time and receive answers. Amen? Glory to God. This excites me because we can pray and we can get answers. And it says, the prayer of faith in verse 15 shall save the sick, shall raise him up. Oh, glory to God. Now, the prayer of faith, I wrote down here, the prayer of faith shall restore the sick. You and I can pray the prayer of faith. You can be saved for 5 minutes and pray the prayer of faith. Amen. Do you know that? I remember back when I did, when I was first saved and got a hold of the Word, I started praying for things and watched them come to pass. I just believed it was going to happen. See, religion complicates things. Christianity doesn't. Religious leaders complicated the things of God, but Jesus simplified the things of God. And you and I can pray the prayer of faith and receive answers. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I know you've probably never read this before. But in Mark chapter 11, we're going to see exactly how the prayer of faith works. Now again, the prayer of faith will work in the area of healing. It will also work in the area of divine provision for you, if you need provision, you know. It'll work in every single area of life. Now, did you come hungry and ready this morning? Amen. Don't allow yourself to be distracted by anything. The room, the newness of the room, whatever. Don't allow that to distract you, okay? If it's too hot, just take a layer off or something. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you have to do. Ask me how I know. But in Mark chapter 11, in verse 11, the Bible says, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem, okay, into the temple, and when he had looked round about all upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And verse 13 says, and seeing the fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And verse 14 says this, Jesus answered and said unto it. Now I want you to see something right here. Jesus spoke to a tree. Jesus answered and said unto what? It. All right, now, this is really, really important. We're used to talking to people. I say hi to you, you say hi to me. I say God bless you, you say God bless me. We interact, okay? We call that a dialogue, okay? Jesus answered the tree, so the tree must have had a voice. Not the kind of voice we're used to hearing with these ears, but the tree had a voice. Now, I know people say, well, the Bible says the time of figs was not yet, but here's what we have to understand. I did some research on this, and back in Bible days, until this day presently, there are certain fig trees that if they have leaves, the fruit should be there too because they produce at the very same time. Jesus was not deceived by this tree. In fact, he went over in his humanity state. He went over looking. He was happy about finding some figs. And he found none. But Jesus said something enough, loud enough where the disciples could hear him. Now listen very carefully. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter." And his disciples heard it. All right? Now he's talking to a tree. Do you think for 1 minute that possibly the disciples are thinking he didn't get enough sleep the night before? That praying all night stuff kind of got to him. He's a little delusional right now. Yeah, I see. I understand you're talking to limbs and legs and arms and stuff like that. Get off your stretcher and walk. You know, but now you're talking to a tree. Wait a second here. What's the deal with that? Okay, so you know these thoughts were going through their mind. Okay, now it shouldn't have, because in Mark chapter 4, Jesus stood up on the bow of that ship and he spoke to the wind and the waves when that storm was beating against them. He said, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. So this shouldn't have been a surprise to them. So faith will speak to inanimate objects. Faith will speak to things, and things will begin to change. Now, right here it says, verse 14, he said this, just a few words, "No man will eat fruit of you hereafter again." He was talking to the tree. And his disciples, verse 14, the latter part says, his disciples what? Okay, now he didn't whisper. He didn't go up to the tree and say, "No man will eat fruit of the year after again." And his disciples are like, "What did he say? Peter, what did he say? John, what do you think he said?" He was loud enough they could hear what he said. "No man will eat fruit of thee hereafter again." Okay? Now, up to this, it apparently looks like nothing happened. Jump down to verse 19. I want to show you something here. That's Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 19. Glory to God. I'm telling you, faith will heal your body. Faith will put money in your pocket. Faith will restore things that have been stolen from you. I'm telling you, faith can move mountains in your life. Glory to God. Are you excited about faith?
Yes.
I am. It's impossible to please God without it. Well, if you go down to verse 19, okay? "And when evening was come, he went out of the city," okay? "And in the morning," this is the very next day, "as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Say roots. All right. Now, Jesus, the day before, he said to the tree, "No man will eat fruit of thee hereafter." And his disciples heard it. But from all visibility, by looking, it looked like nothing happened. But the next day, I love this. The next day. Verse 19, "When evening was come, they went out of the city. In the morning they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Verse 21, "Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, look, behold, the fig tree that which thou cursed is withered away." Now let's stop here for a minute here. What is the Bible definition of a curse? Not cussing. You know, Jesus didn't look at the fig tree and say, "You blankety blank blank blank," and use a bunch of four-letter words. The Bible definition of a curse means to speak negative over. In other words, "You no good thing, you. You're not going to amount to anything." And whether we realize or not, we've all done that from one time or another. We've spoken negative things over ourselves, which we shouldn't do, but we're learning. We've spoken negative things over other people. We've spoken negative things over situations, over our vehicles, so forth. But let me tell you something. The children of Israel wore the same clothes. Their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years in the wilderness. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years in the wilderness. Boy, you talk about a throwback outfit. Dear God. But This is the kind of God that we serve. Amen. I just feel like a divine explosion is going to take place in here today. I'm telling you, inside my spirit, glory to God. I feel pregnant. You know what I mean? Spiritually. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, you look like it too. No. That's a curse word. So Jesus cursed the fig tree. Now, Peter said, look, Master, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. He was kind of surprised by it. Well, Jesus wasn't surprised by it. Now, notice that when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he didn't go back and check on it 2 minutes later. He didn't go back there and say, I know I spoke to this tree, but it still looks the same. You know, he didn't do that. And that's why we have to be very careful sometimes when it comes to the prayer of faith, that when we pray and believe God, we don't start checking the symptoms again. Listen, when the symptoms are gone, you will know it. Amen? But your symptoms, whether they're there or not, are no indication whether or not you're healed. Your name is your name whether you feel like it or not. There may not be any feeling attached to it, but, you know, when you curse something, that means to speak negative over. So what happened here? Verse 19, when the evening was come, they went out to the city. In the morning they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter called in remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now, from this moment forward, we're going to see Jesus is going to use this object lesson to teach not only his disciples, but to teach you and me how the God kind of faith operates. This is not just something that's left for deity or the apostles and so forth. He's going to show us it's of no private interpretation. He's going to show us how this faith works. Verse 23 or 22. Jesus answered. Now, this is right after Peter said, look, Lord, the fig tree which you cursed is dried up from the what? From the roots. Now, what's interesting is when Jesus spoke the word over that tree, the Holy Ghost immediately started going to the root, not the fruit, but the root of that tree. But you couldn't see it. Not until the next day. And they saw the fig tree dried up, where? From the roots. So that means this, that when you speak over something and you're trying to, how many of you know you don't want disease to prosper in your body? So you curse disease. You curse pain. Well, when you speak over that, over your body, you may not feel or see any results right then and there. But be assured of this one thing. When you speak the word, it's getting to the root. And roots, last time I checked, they're under the ground. Tree roots are under the ground. Now, this thing shriveled up so much that Peter said, this thing's dried up from the roots, my Lord. That must have been a dry tree. Probably every bit of moisture was in that tree just sucked out of there, amen? But notice Jesus said in verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, who's them? His disciples, but he's also saying to you and to I. Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. Let's say that. Have faith in God. One more time. Have faith in God. More often than not, when your back's up against the wall and you don't know what to do, and your mind is searching and you're looking, Lord, I need an answer here. I need an answer here. I'll tell you what, he's brought me back to this scripture so many times. Have faith in God. Keith, have faith in me. Have faith in God. Mm-hmm. Our faith has to be in the right thing. It didn't say have faith in people. Mm-hmm. It said have faith in God. Okay? Now, it's good. You should have faith in people. You know what I'm saying? We should have faith in one another. But we shouldn't have ultimate faith in people because people, folks, you can let your own self down. Do you ever let your own self down before? Like, doggone, I should have done better than that. You ever do that? You let yourself down, you discourage yourself. Well, you can let yourself down, other people can let you down, but let me tell you something, God will never, ever, ever let you down. Never let you down. Say, never let you down. He said, have faith in God. All right, and then he goes on to say, and here's where it gets into the meat of this in verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever... Now that's an interesting word, because that means everybody won't, anybody can, and somebody will. Everybody won't, anybody can, and somebody will. Are you a whosoever?
Yeah.
I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. Like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right? So can you be a whosoever?
Yes.
I'm a whosoever. Somebody wrote a song many years ago called Whosoever Meaneth Me. I never heard the song, but I heard somebody talk about it, you know. Whosoever meaneth me. So I'm a whosoever. So that means I can qualify for this. Now, not everybody will, but anybody can. Everybody won't. Anybody can, but somebody will. Whosoever, hallelujah, shall say unto this mountain. Now that's not a person, is it? That's an object. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, notice that, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what?
Saith.
Now the word say or saith is used there three times. The word believe is used once. So that means we got to do three times as much saying, which ultimately affects our believing. What you say. Because what you say, listen to me folks, what you say and what I say is either our faith speaking or our fear speaking. And we have to ascertain and we have to determine, okay, if I'm getting ready to say something here, is it full of faith or is it full of fear? Amen? Now, I heard it said like this, feed your faith and starve your doubts. Have you ever had a doubtful thought come to you before?
Yeah.
I would venture to say almost daily, there are doubtful thoughts that come to you. I have those kind of thoughts like you have those kind of thoughts. Sometimes it helps to know that. Because sometimes people think, if you're in the ministry, you're a pastor, you wake up, you're just floating around in flowery beds of ease, like there's no issues, no problems, no needs. Are you kidding me? I wish that were so. So you've got negative things coming at you. In other words, just like the tree was speaking to Jesus, said, there's no fruit, you're not getting any fruit from this tree. Well, Jesus talked back to the tree. He talked back to a tree. I'm going to write a book someday because the Lord told me to do it. It's called Jesus Talk to a Tree. In Jesus' name, I'm going to get on that. Jesus talked to a tree. Jesus talked to a storm. Jesus talked to legs, arms. Amen? Take up your bed and walk. Amen? I know that you want to say that to your teenager sometimes. Take up your bed. Get out of bed first. Just playing with you here. But notice again, verily whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice that phrase, he shall have whatsoever he what?
Saith.
Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now the word receive means to take. So when you pray, you believe, you receive it, and then you what?
You take it.
Now, Jesus said here, Jesus is talking here. He said, you have to believe you got it before you get it. That's paraphrasing. You have to do that. The other day, you know, I was, I don't know, it was three days ago or something like that. I was sitting in our family room, and I had all these symptoms starting to come on me. I started sneezing and sneezing, you know, and I felt, you know, congestion, you know what I'm talking about. And the devil said, you're getting ready for something here. Had these thoughts coming to me. And congestion and, you know what I'm saying, all this, it just came on me just like that. I'm sitting there. And Lynn and Kelly were sitting on the couch next to me, and I said, put the TV on pause for a sec. She put it on pause. I said, I want you to come over here. I said, you're going to lay hands on me, and when you do, the power of God is going to flow into me. I'm going to be healed. Okay? Didn't I say that? Well, being the good wife that she is, she jumped up. And she went over. And she said, in the name of Jesus, you be healed right now. Praise God. And folks, within 5 minutes, every single one of those symptoms left. I'm telling you, every one of them left. Now, I know in the past, and many years, if something like that would come on me, it's like, oh, this is going to be a two-weeker type thing. You know what I mean? And you're thinking that, you know, but I've learned some things. I'm growing just like you are. I'm still learning. How many of you know that? Paul said, I haven't attained yet. Paul, the apostle said that. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But I knew this. When you lay hands on me, I will be healed. I wasn't thinking might, maybe. Let's just do the religious thing. Just say a little prayer for me, please. Say a little prayer for me. Folks, there's so much unbelief in that sometimes. It's like some magical word you're going to say. It's faith. It's faith that heals. It's faith that sets people free. It's faith that brings the healing power of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, that wasn't a hard thing, because my faith is not in anybody but God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. I think sometimes where we miss it, where believers miss it, is they're hoping something happens. Well, if I just call the prayer tower, if I call Channel 40, get a hold of the prayer line. There's nothing wrong with that. But too often, more often than not, people are hoping that just if there's just enough people praying, something will happen. No, it's faith. It's faith that moves mountains. It's not prayer. It's faith. Okay? You can pray for 12 hours, but if there's no faith in it, nothing's going to happen. Hallelujah. But when you can say three words in faith, and bam, things will begin to take place. So we have to have faith in our words and what we say. Whosoever shall say. Everybody say, say.
Say.
All right, speak, say. Amen. Years ago when I got my first puppy dog when I was a kid, one of the first things we taught him to do was to speak. Well, he didn't talk like we did, but, you know, he barked, you know, because that meant he was getting a treat. Okay? Well, here's the thing. The first thing we need to do as believers is we need to have speech lessons to know how to talk. Did you know, I was reading this morning in Proverbs chapter 15. It says that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Now, where was the tree of life mentioned before? The garden in the beginning in Genesis, right? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A tree of life. And people say they've claimed to found the tree of life. No, they haven't, you know. Listen, a tree of life is a wholesome tongue. Now, why did God drive them out of the garden? Why did he send angels there to protect them? Because had they eaten of the tree of life after they sinned, they would have remained in that sinful condition for eternity. And that's why the Lord put an angel there, right? Mm-hmm. To keep them from that. All right? Because God had another plan. But I found in Proverbs chapter 15 that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, the Bible says in Proverbs. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise God. And it also says that so many scriptures about the tongue. Amen. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Glory to God. You know, I'm thinking of the other one. It'll come back to me here about the tongue of the wise is health. There it is. Did you ever hear that scripture? The tongue of the wise is health. So if you're a wise man or woman, what are you going to speak? Health, healing. Well, pastor, you don't understand. I've got these symptoms in my body. I know that. The devil knows that. God knows that. Okay, we've established that. We know that. But what do we want? If you want the dog, don't call the cat. Amen? So if you want healing, we have to talk health. Health. Oh, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. Praise God. Amen? And if you're with somebody, I say to my wife or whatever, my kids, I say, you know, isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus took our sins and he took my sicknesses? Thank God we're healed by his stripes. Amen? Now, I might have a symptom in my body at the time, but let me tell you something. When you keep talking the word, amen, then that word is going to rise up and it's going to take over. It's going to take over. So when Jesus cursed the fig tree, what happened? It withered. The opposite of a curse is a blessing. That means you can speak the word of blessing over yourself and over other people. Amen? When I pray for you, you know what I do? I bless you. That's what I do. I don't have to be in your presence. You don't have to be in my presence because there's no distance in the spirit realm. Amen? Father, I bless every man, woman, boy, and girl of Covenant Family Church. I bless them with prosperity. I bless them with divine health. I bless them with divine protection. And guess what? I expect it to happen. I do. Even if you're in a rough place, dear God, he's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out with an outstretched arm. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, here's what I want to kind of conclude with here today, because, my goodness. If you're taking notes, write this down. These are four words that are the most powerful words, I think, in the New Testament. Oh, my goodness. Are you ready for it? These four words will get you your goods. It will get to you, it'll get you everything that you desire from the Lord. And it's these four words: I believe, I receive. I'll say that one more time. I believe, I receive. I believe, I receive. That's four words. Okay? Well, that's not a paragraph. That's a phrase. But in those four words is the most powerful way that I know personally to know how to receive from the Lord, mm-hmm. is by saying that. Mm-hmm. I believe, I receive. Mm-hmm. I believe. What am I praying for? After I pray for, I say, Lord, I claim such and such, you know. And then I'll say, Lord, I believe, I receive. Now, in this case here, talking about divine healing, and once you learn this for yourself, you can share this with other people. And it's just amazing how it works. It almost works like magic. It's not magic, but it works supernaturally quick. When my wife laid hands on me, I said, you lay hands on me and I will be healed. I said, I believe, I receive. Glory to God. And there it showed up. Hallelujah. But I didn't go check in my body after she prayed to see if. That's where we miss it. I said, I'm not going to go check it myself. I just thank you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I thank you. And I do the same thing when the area of finances are concerned. Amen. I think it was Sister Copeland one time. She had to, I saw this because the camera was panned from behind. It was behind. In other words, in the back of the auditorium. And she said, how many of you from time to time have a physical thing you have to deal with? And there was a lot of hands that went up. You know, you could see a lot of hands. It wasn't 100%. And then she said, how about finances? How many of you could use some extra finances? And it looked like 100% of the hands went up. Okay? Because we live in this natural world where you need finances to survive, right? Right? You need money to buy food and so forth. Well, you know, God's interested in all that stuff. He's interested in all that stuff. Amen? And but the principles of faith, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin when he appeared to him one time, he said, Kenneth, the principles of faith will work the same with healing as it work with finances or anything that you desire in life. It's not a different formula, a different principle. And these four words here, I believe, I receive, that means I believe I got it, even though I can't see it yet. I believe I got it. I believe I got it. Oh, praise God. Then verse 25, it says, and when you stand praying, now this is about one of the biggest things that Jesus mentioned as far as if there's a hindrance to our prayers, it's this right here, our faith. When you stand praying, notice this, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. Amen. Now, forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a fact. You may not feel like forgiving somebody that's wronged you. There may not be any feelings attached to it, but you, by faith, you say, Lord, I forgive that person. I forgive them. Have you ever done that before? So, Lord, I forgive them. Hallelujah. If there's a note, that's the wrong word I'm looking for. If there's an air of ill will or unforgiveness about us, it will hinder our prayers and our faith from working. And this is one of the biggest things that Jesus talked out. Really two things he mentioned in the Bible that were hindrances is unbelief and unforgiveness. Unbelief and unforgiveness. Now, I will say this, that when you, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you have to be friends with them. Understand what I'm saying here. Somebody might have done you wrong. And they're unrepentive and they're basically jerks. Okay? And they don't see it. They don't see what they're doing. You can forgive them, but that doesn't mean that you're to say, to buddy up alongside them, say, let's be buddies, let's go out. Let's fellowship with one another. Okay? There's a big difference there. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think sometimes people misunderstand. They think, well, if I forgive them, it means I have to be best friends with them. No. Okay? I know some people that I met somebody years ago that had unforgiveness towards the government. So, you know, and there's good reason to sometimes, you know, in the natural. But, you know, you don't have to know someone to hold unforgiveness towards them. You might have a squabble with a person that you know, but there can be people that you don't even know. And you start calling them idiots and jerks and everything else, and you have an attitude towards them, that can actually hinder your prayers from being answered. Now, I may not agree with everything that the president does. In fact, there's a lot of stuff I don't agree with that he does. Policies. Okay? But I don't have any unforgiveness towards him. That went over real well. I separate him from his policies. A big difference. I pray for him. We love him. Whoever's in there, we love them. Okay? But we don't hold an air of unforgiveness because, boy, if there's ever, especially nowadays, Christians get on this bandwagon about, and I have to watch it myself. I'll be honest with you. I have to be careful myself. You get on this thing about, did you see what they just did? Do you see what law they just passed, you know? And you get to talking about that, all of a sudden you're getting angry. Yeah. You feel your blood boiling, so to speak, you know. But we don't want to let any person, whether we know them or don't know them, create a barrier for you and for me. And I'll tell you, the first thing I do is if my prayers are being hindered from being answered, if I'm praying about something over and over again and I haven't seen any light, any fruit, any results, I'll go to check and say, is there unbelief or is there unforgiveness in my life resident somewhere, somehow? And Lord, if there is, you show me. You show me. Amen? Because I don't want to have a crippled, broken spirit. Now, I cannot help what other people do to me. But I sure can help how I respond to them. Amen? And I want to be a lover. Okay? In a pure sense. You understand what I mean? Not like lover boy type thing. You know what I mean? There's Pastor Lover Boy, you know? No, we want to love like Jesus. Amen. Listen, if a preacher, especially preachers, if they're preaching fear and guilt and condemnation, you need to shut them off so quick. Turn that channel off. Turn that button off. Because they're not representing Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ. Jesus is full of compassion and full of love. He wasn't hard on people. Now, he did get on the religious people that were trying to cover up. Amen? But even the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. That's interesting, isn't it? Well, you know, you can't commit adultery with yourself. Where's the guy? These guys were peeping Toms. Honestly, you ever read that story? And they caught her in the very act of adultery. They're looking in windows, whatever they had to do. These religious people just said, "We're going to trap him." And they, you know, and they brought the woman and threw her before Jesus like a piece of trash. Remember that? Where's the guy at? He was probably one of the Pharisees. I get chills up my spine when I think about this and the mercy of Jesus. This looked like a sure way because they're trying to trap Jesus, okay? I mean, they think the law of Moses says that if a woman does this, she shall be stoned. What do you say? Okay? Now, it's kind of interesting because it looked like he was avoiding what they were saying, but actually he was listening. The Bible says he went and he stooped, drawing in the sand there. What's he doing? He's listening. Because if he says the wrong thing, rocks are flying. I mean, to tell you, this woman, can you imagine how she's fearing and trembling? She's about to be stoned by these religious people. Jesus finally heard from heaven. And that's why when you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Just listen. Listen inside. Not with these ears, but inside. Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. So don't ever feel like trapped that you have to make have a response right away. If somebody asked you a question, okay? Because you may not know the answer. And I'm learning this too. It's like, if I don't have an answer, I'm going to say, you know what? I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'm going to ask the Lord. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to get His wisdom on this. Amen? Jesus, I finally heard from the Holy Ghost. He heard. He stood up and He says, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Well, they had rocks in their hands. I mean, they're ready to go at it. You know what I'm saying? And I'll tell you, Jerusalem still to this day is the rockiest place on the planet. There's no shortage of rocks. I mean, they're everywhere, everywhere. And those religious Jews back then and the Pharisees, I mean, man, they're ready to stone at the drop of a hat. You know what I'm saying? And he said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." Now, there's different ideas. What did Jesus write in the sand? You know, some people say, it doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say. But some people have suggested maybe that he's writing out some of the Pharisees' names and what they did. You know, I don't know. That might be true. I don't know. But whatever it was convicted their hearts so much so that they all left from the eldest to the youngest. And all this, they heard thump, 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 thump. Rocks just dropping to the ground. They left from the eldest to the youngest. And the only two left standing there were Jesus and this woman. Now, this woman was guilty. But Jesus looked at her and He said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" "There are none, Lord. They're all gone." And He says, "Neither do I condemn you.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Go and sin no more." He didn't say she wasn't missing it. She did. Okay? Don't you know that woman became a follower of Jesus Christ? Amen? And you think about the mercy that Jesus showed her that day. Isn't that powerful? The love and the mercy that Jesus showed her. is the kind of love and mercy that will win people over into the kingdom of God. Not by a hammer in our hand and beating people over the head, condemning people. It's the love of God which leadeth thee to repentance in Romans 2:4. There's a classic example of that that story I just talked about with Jesus and this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Did she experience the goodness of God that day? Oh, yeah, she did. It saved her life in more ways than one. She became a different person because she saw the goodness of God. Amen? And I'll close with this here today because we're out of time. That the Lord's coming back soon. I believe He's coming back in our lifetime. I'm not setting dates, times, months, that kind of thing. But listen, I know that the way things are going, the way this world is going, the world system is going, we only have a short amount of time left on this earth. All major prophetic utterances have been fulfilled in the Bible already. With Jerusalem becoming a nation in 48, May 11th, the fig tree shot forth leaves, and Jesus said the generation that will see that happen know that all things are near. Okay? Things are close. Hallelujah. And the end is nigh. It's drawing nigh. What is the biggest key that's going to make us affect the world around us, the people around us? It's the love of God and the mercy of God. There are people that major, even ministers sometimes, they major on the judgment side of... Now, there is a judgment side of God. But let me tell you, when we major on the right things, we major on love and we major on mercy. That's what's going to win people. Not harsh, hard, hammering type words. It's the love of God. Amen. Kenneth Hagin, my spiritual dad, you know, he's in heaven now with Jesus. People said, man, he's so strong in faith and all. But you know, he was. But I'll tell you, and we sat at his feet and heard him in 1982, 1983, and listening to that man. And I'll tell you one thing about that man, oozed the love of God. Oh. Now, I'm not a weepy cry type of person. I'm just not. If I start to cry, you know it's God. Okay? Some people can cry just like that. It's like, oh, man. I can't do that. I can't. But let me tell you something. When you come in contact with the presence of God, and Brother Hagin, he had no airs about him whatsoever. I mean, he's just transparent. And he'd just walk out there, and he was under no pressure whatsoever. I've seen him minister to small crowds, large crowds. You would never know the difference. He's not moved by any of that stuff. But he was moved by the love and the compassion of Jesus. And because he operated in that, I'm telling you, it would just make me weep sometimes. Remember that, Lynn? I mean, just walk... Just sitting in his presence. He was so strong in the love of God. Amen? And we don't put any man on a pedestal, but I'll tell you what, the Bible says we're to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, and people to walk in these kind of things in the love of God. Oh. And today, I believe, I didn't even plan on going ending in this fashion, this manner, but love is healing you today. And I will say this, that whether it's a physical thing, fine. But you know, maybe you're hurting emotionally. Maybe there's something that's been broken emotionally inside of your life. Some kind of scar, some kind of pain, some kind of hurt. And to this day, it still hinders you. It messes with your head. Well, the Lord's going to heal that today. He's going to heal that today. He came to heal the brokenhearted too. It says that. Amen? Come on up here.
Let me share a scripture before we pray.
You want to do that? Yeah. Okay.
Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah.
There we go.
Thank you, Jesus. Am I on? Okay. I want you to turn to the scripture because I want you to have it for you, especially in this room. I believe God wants to deal with this today. It's Romans 8, chapter 1. Romans 8, 1. It says, there is therefore now, right now, say right now,
right now.
Right this second, no condemnation to those, to them which are in Christ Jesus. It goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But let's major on the first part of this. I want to read this to you out of the message. There's therefore now, right now, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. The one translation says, let me just read it to you. It says, those who enter into Christ's being, we've entered into him here for us, no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
What translation?
That's in the message.
Message. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I just, especially you in this room, you're hungry for God. You're here. You're here. So there's a difference. So you're hungry for God. God wants those in this room to step up and to get rid of the condemnation, because God needs every one of you in this room, and we cannot yield to this condemnation anymore, feeling like we're constantly missing it. It's a, like that says, a low-lying black cloud. We need to do something about that today. We need to just say, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. When it comes against you, and even if you did do wrong, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful, he's just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when that condemnation comes, you say out of your mouth today, there is therefore now no condemnation. There, you stand before the Lord, righteous. You are holy. You are accepted in the Beloved. So let's make a determining, deciding factor today that we will not allow condemnation anymore. God doesn't need us hanging our heads down. He needs us alert. He needs us ready. He needs us to be able to minister to people. There's too many hurting people for us to hold our heads down low and think there's always somewhere where we're missing it. We have to judge that. We judge that right now. Father, we judge this right now. And those in this room and in the sound of my voice, Father, I thank you that they're hungry for you, Father. You're changing them this very moment, I believe, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we determine right now that we will no longer yield to the spirit of condemnation, this low-lying black cloud, any longer in the name of Jesus. We just deal with this by faith, by faith, by faith. We are not condemned. We are not condemned. Say this with me. I am not condemned.
Not condemned.
I'm accepted in the Beloved.
I am accepted in the Beloved.
He loves me so much.
He loves me so much.
That's all that he does.
That's all that he does.
That's all he can do.
That's all he can do.
Because he paid a price for me.
Because he paid a price for me.
He paid a dear price for me.
He paid a dear price for me.
I don't belong to myself anymore.
I don't belong to myself anymore.
I belong to him.
I belong to him.
And he's not condemning me.
And he's not condemning me.
And I am free.
And I am free.
From all guilt.
From all guilt.
From all condemnation.
From all condemnation.
From this low-lying dark spirit.
From this low-lying dark spirit.
Forever.
Forever.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Help me.
Help me.
Alert me.
Alert me.
At any moment. When I start to yield to this, and then I'll do something about it.
And I'll do something about it.
With the greater one.
With the greater one.
In me.
In me.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
You know, it's amazing
Praise
to
God.
Me.
Praise God.
Years ago, we had a situation where people were lifted up in pride in the church. I'm just going to say it like it is. And, you know, usually it's always like what you're not doing right, you know how it is. that's pride, first of all, you know. I mean,
I mean, it said something like adultery or some crazy thing. You know what I mean? And so, you know, the morning I woke up, the Lord said to me, "Where are thine accusers?" Because the Lord supernaturally removed them from the church. You know what I mean? Oh, my goodness, that set me free. He said it like it was like a loud, audible voice. "Where are thine accusers?" I've never had anything so much directly impact me. But that's the spirit of the devil, always trying to trap, like in the world, you know what I mean? Trying to trap people, corner people. And that's not God. It's not God. It's not God. Yeah. Somebody always saying judgment, this person's going to die, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, no, that's not God. Jesus died and that all men, he desires that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen, saints. That's our goal in life is to reach out with the compassion. Most people don't have compassion. It's always cut and dry. It is always, you know, the letter of the law, cut and dry. No, gosh, that turns people away. We need to yield to compassion. We need to yield to that compassion.
Amen. In Jesus' right now, name. Just lay hands on yourself. You don't have to be sick for this to happen. We're just going to release right now in this minute, the next last minute here we have. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we release the healing, virtue, and the power of God. Say this out loud. I believe.
I believe.
I receive.
I receive.
Total health.
Total health.
From the top of my head.
From the top of my head.
To the soles of my feet.
To the soles of my feet.
Nothing but health.
In
2016.
In 2016.
That's the way it'll be.
That's the way it will be.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.